He does that mainly through his word, but he also does it during times when we just are asking him questions, talking to him about life, because I don't know about you, you know, we were talking a little bit about parenting of all things in our Sunday school class, and I tell you what, I made the mention that I wish the kids would come in with an instruction manual, but none of mine came with one, and apparently they didn't come from my mom and dad either, and they don't ever. We just have to kind of do our best with the Lord's help, and many times we just have to pray that simple prayer, God help, because I don't know what I'm doing. Well, today we want to look at the book of Acts, the book of John. And we're going to be looking at chapter 15, and we're going to look at some verses 9 through 17. And this is Jesus talking, and he's telling us about himself and love, and he just wants to continue to help us to understand what he desires for us. He wants to be your friend, my friend, and not just an acquaintance, not just somebody in history, not just someone we acknowledge in our mind, but someone that we allow into our heart, and we let him to change us from the inside out, because he wants us to have the best life ever. And so here he is, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." Pray that God will bless the reading of his word. For his word is truth, and it is something that sets us free to enjoy life to the fullest. Now, as I was thinking about this first part of the passage of Scripture, and if you have your bulletin close by, you'll notice you have an insert that you can fill in the outline that I have for you today and maybe remember it better. But the first thing I want to talk about is that Jesus gives perfect love and joy to his friends. Perfect love and joy. In other words, it's the best you could get. It's not selfish at all. God's love for us is the most sacrificial, unselfish thing we could ever enjoy. There are people in our world who say they love us, but then we find out far different as we go on in life. Or even spouses. Now, I know your spouse probably doesn't do this, but I disappoint my wife from time to time, and I don't love her the way she should be loved. That's a fact, because I'm not Jesus. Only he can give you perfect love. And if you're looking for it somewhere else, you won't find it. It's only found in him. And he gives us perfect joy. Complete. There's nothing missing. So no matter what our situation is in life, we can have joy that's found in Jesus. Because it's not our circumstances or our situations that define us. We sang that one song and it talked about, you know, you can check your shame at the door. You're not welcome anymore. We're in the Father's house. When you recognize that you have come into the Father's house and you have given your life to Jesus, you're going to find joy that will erase that shame. You don't need shame anymore, because when Jesus comes in, he takes over and cleans you and I up like no one else could. In the first two verses, he said here, now this is Jesus speaking, and he says, as the Father has loved you. Do you first has loved me, he says. Do you believe that God loves his son? Absolutely. But you know what? He also loves you, me, us, everyone. In fact, one of the most famous scriptural verses is, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's what Jesus is talking about. He is that son that the Father gave. And so now he is coming to love on you and I. And the greatest way he showed that was when he left heaven and came to earth to be born a human being and go through all the situations that you and I go through. His mother gave birth to him. His mom and dad tried to raise him as best they could too. But this wasn't just any child. This is the Son of God. And so now he wants to love on you further, because he didn't just live any old life. He is the only one that lived a perfect life. And that's why he can give you perfect love. That's why he can give you perfect joy. Because he is perfect. But he wants us to remain in his love. He made the gesture towards all of us to love us when he took a cross one day. And now he invites us to accept that for ourselves and remain in it. To remain in it, he says, is to obey my commands. That's how we remain in God's love. By obeying his commands. Now, we're not going to be perfect, will we? We'll never be perfect. But he still will love us if we are striving for that. If we're not using that, well, I'm not perfect, as an excuse to just sin. In fact, he says, if you'll just ask me for my forgiveness, then I will forgive you. Confess your sins, and I will forgive you. He wants us, though, to have a great life. Now, you see, Jesus obeyed all of his Father's commands, and he remains in his love today. And so he set the example for us. What will we do that with that? Do we want to have God's love to the max? Perfect love that will never leave us, that will never separate himself from us, who says, this is my child on good days and bad days, because we strive to love him back. We can't ever get up to his standard, but he still gives us grace. He still is willing to love us. But do we want to remain in his love? I hope so, because anywhere else is dangerous. You know, it's like a child that runs away from home, and they don't realize at the time how dangerous that is. But boy, once they've been out there a while and hopefully they're recovered, I tell you, it's got to be an amazing thing for that child to now sense that somebody cared enough to find them. That's what Jesus does. He cares enough to find you, to find me, to love us, to put his arms around us and show us what perfect love is all about. not the performance love that many people have these days, where, well, if you can do this and you can do that for me, I'll love you. No. Jesus loves the weakest of us, but he loves all of us, first and foremost, because the Father has loved him. Now, he also says in verse 11 that he's told us all of this so that my joy, Jesus' joy, would be in you and I. He'd be able to see you and I, and he would have great joy in you and I, bragging about his kids like you and I as parents do most of the time. Well, he brags about us. He loves us. And the great thing is that he'll put his joy in you and I, and it'll be complete. You won't lack anything. When you know Jesus, when you put your faith in Jesus, the joy that he gives you goes beyond all understanding. It's better than the Rams beating the Bengals. It's better than any other sporting event, Olympic gold medalist. It's better than who wins the Daytona 500 today, although, yes, I'll watch it. With my eyelids closed probably for most of it, but I'll try to wake up at the end. It's better than anything you could ever achieve in life, because it is joy that no one else here on earth can give you. Only God can give you. And he gave it to us through putting our faith in Jesus. Secondly, if you're a friend of Jesus, Jesus' friends then, if Jesus gives us perfect love and joy to his friends, then Jesus' friends love and sacrifice for one another. Well, that only makes sense, right? Jesus set the example of giving us love. He died on a cross. If that isn't love, I don't know what love is. Because he died there because every one of us have sinned against him. If I were to ask, has anybody here ever sinned in their life? Every hand would go up if we were honest. You don't have to do that, Thomas. I know. You recognize it. I understand that. I do too. Mine should be up. But whether we acknowledge it to one another, God knows. And even though he knows, he wants to fix that problem, because sin only leads to death. Sin only leads to consequences that are negative. So he took a cross and showed us how much he loves us so that he could set us free, so that then we can love others just like he loved us. And we could sacrifice for one another just as he sacrificed for us. He says here in John 15, 12 through 13. Now it's heavy, but he says, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Whoa. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? How could I do that? Only with God's help, that's for sure. Greater love, he says, has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Why would he mention that? In other words, he wants you and I to lay down our life for our friends, because he did that for you and me. See, he's calling us friends, and he's saying, I've laid my life down for you. Now I want you to walk in my footsteps. I'll be with you every step of the way. Oh, you'll probably be persecuted just like I was, but, you know, count it all joy when people say all kinds of things about you and insult you and, you know, call you things that aren't true. They did that to Jesus. They'll do that to you and I. But that's okay. When we're doing what God wants us to do, then we remain in his love, and his love and joy are in us. And so we know we're doing what's right. And it sets us free to enjoy life
to the full.
Then he says this, okay, you are my friends if you do what I command. So I no longer call you servants. We aren't just God's servants. Yes, we serve God. Because Jesus was a servant, we follow in his example. He didn't come just to be served. Remember, he wasn't a king like most of the kings of his day. The kings of his day would have others serve them. But Jesus did just the opposite. He served us. He served his disciples. He served the world. But now he's calling us more than a servant. Because a servant doesn't know their master's business. They don't share everything with them. But Jesus does. Remember, Jesus was all about doing the Father's business. And now he continues to tell us what that is and show us what that is in his word. And he lived that out to show us the example. And so now he says, instead I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Wow. Think about that and just let that soak in. Everything that Jesus has learned from the Father, he doesn't hold back from anyone that wants to know him and wants to know what he's like, who he is, what he wants of us, what his plan is. In fact, Jesus has given us God's eternal plan. And that's where we're coming in the next part. You know, Jesus blesses his obedient friends eternally. This world is not the end. This world is not our home. We are not a failure if we have not achieved all the things that we thought we would achieve in this world. Because the achievements on this world, in this world, have no bearing on eternity. The achievements that God wants is that we love him and we love people. We obey him. And he says that we didn't even really choose him. He chose us. God came to earth. He sent his son to earth to save us. We didn't run to heaven. We couldn't have reached heaven. We couldn't go there to be with him. We couldn't make ourselves right. But God, he chose us. Now, I don't know about you, whether you're the greatest athlete or whatever in school, but I can remember sometimes getting chose last in elementary school for the big kickball game. And that might sound like, that's no big deal. What in the world do you even bring that up for? Because by being chosen last, it seemed like nobody really wanted me. But you know what? Whether you're chosen first or you're chosen last, if you're chosen by Jesus, you're in a good spot. You're on the right team. And he's got a job for you. You're not just going to be the person who stands on the sidelines until you have to kick. No. He's got a job for you. He says, I've appointed you. I've appointed you. You have my approval. Go and bear fruit. In other words, go out there and have a great life. A life of love, of sacrifice for others, doing the will of the Father, and you will bear fruit that will last. Because as you invest in other people, they too can know the joy and the love that comes from being a friend of Jesus. And then you will begin to understand the heart and the mind of God, so that then you'll start asking the Father for things in my name which were according to my will. And let me tell you, if you ask things according to God's will, and you ask them in the name of Jesus, God will answer those prayers. You won't get all that you want, but you'll get all you need. God is a good God who blesses His obedient friends eternally. Everything we do in the name of Jesus will bear fruit that will last. In heaven one day, Jesus may get rid of a bunch of stuff in our life that didn't mean anything. But the stuff that will last is what we did in Jesus' name. The way in which we loved and treated people who are weak, who are hurting, who are sad, who are mourning. The way in which we treat our neighbor who literally lives beside us or lives in the same house. All those things will last. What we do in the name of Jesus will last forever. And one day, when we stand before Him, we will not be standing before Him in judgment if we are His friend and we have allowed Jesus to be our friend. He'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. My good and faithful friend." But what's His command? It's simple, and yet it's complex. Love each other. Did you who have kids or had kids and now they're out of the home, do they always love each other? Mine didn't. Probably their bad dad's example at times. No, but He wants us to. Do you remember times in which they did love each other? Weren't those sweet? Aren't those the times you like to keep in your memory bank and like to push the others back? See, that's what God loves to do. He has grace for us. We don't deserve it. But He forgives us because He thinks better of us. He thinks that we can do this. God does not give you a command that you cannot do with His help, with His intervention in your life, with our tag teaming with Him, with our yoking together with Him like two oxen going down a row or two horses, you know, like at the, the farm show. When they have the two horses together and they're able to pull great amounts of weight because they're united together for the same purpose. When we do that with God, we can love even our enemies. And now let me tell you, that's a hard one, isn't it? But that's what God calls us to. And He makes it possible. But we got to know Him. We got to trust Him. We got to believe in Him. So, what should we do next? Well, become a friend of Jesus by accepting His love and joy for you. It's not just for somebody else. It's not just for the people that have their act together. If that were the case, no one could be saved. Because without Jesus, I can't get my act together. I can't even begin to get my act together. But with Him, I can do all things. How do I do that? Well, first I have to admit I've sinned. I got to be like Thomas. I got to put my hand up first. Admit you sin. That you need a relationship with Him. And that comes by faith in Jesus, who loves you so much He gave His life on a cross. Do you believe that? Then you have to trust Him and not just believe it as a fact. And then He wants you to follow Him, to remain in Jesus' love by loving and sacrificing for others regularly. That's a hard one to say for me. That have needs, especially other friends of Jesus. Who are other friends of Jesus? Anybody who has put their faith in him. Everyone in this room that has put their faith in him is another friend of Jesus. Everybody outside of this church who loves Jesus, that can be your friend because they are a friend of Jesus. And we are to help one another, to love one another, because the world definitely sometimes does not love us and does not care for us, nor this idea of telling them that they're wrong. Now, we don't have to be abrasive with people, and I don't think that's what God wants us to do. But he does want us to trust him that we are a sinner, agree with that, and then keep learning and obeying Jesus as you put your faith in him so that you can experience a friendship with him. Because remember, he says, you're not my friend unless you obey my commands. But if you obey my commands, I no longer call you a servant. I call you a friend. And that goes to the last point, the last step, I should say. Go and reach out to all of your friends. They might not be friends of Jesus yet, but they can be. They may be. I'm sure there are some people in this room that have asked your friends to come today. Some of them came. They're here. But others did not. Don't get down on yourself. If you were faithful to ask, that's what God wanted. He wants faithfulness. What they do with it, we all have a free will. If you're a Christian, you had to choose one day to accept Jesus as your friend, right? They'll have to do that too. But we have no control over that. That's between them and God. But together as friends, we can work together to maybe help that friend to come to Jesus and to be a friend of Jesus too. Never get tired of praying to God for help and loving each other. Never get tired of praying to God for help, and never get tired of loving each other. Because that's why Jesus came, and that's what he wants from you and I. God bless you as you seek to do that. If you don't know Jesus, today is the day to give him your life, to put your faith in him, and to become his friend, and to know him as your friend. Let's stand. We want to sing a song with you.